the story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all. The story of my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all.
They couldn't score and fell flat, and the 40-something goal is a little deceiving. Yeah. And even though they had some really good opportunities, surprisingly, they need to play with that intensity. If those last 3-4 minutes, the Rangers sometimes don't play at their best level against lower-tier teams.
Here's Johnny!
Nope, this is Ranger Proud, Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, here on the Bleed Blue Show.
Good evening, Steven.
Oh, shit. I'm here. Having trouble. What's up, man? How you doing, man? How's everything?
All right, how are you?
Good, man. Got Glenn with us. I think Scott's going to be on here. Let's do a little things a little bit different. We'll intermingle things with the blue shirts. I mean, there's a lot of good things to rave about this hockey club RP, and I'll tell you why throughout this episode. But let's sprinkle in some of the rest of the NHL, as well as I finally got around to some AHL stuff. I want to get with you guys some OHL, because that was one area I wanted to do more of. You guys don't have to chime in. I just want to spread the thoughts of what I'm seeing in those smaller circuits as well. But I know there's a lot of great things to discuss with the NHL or with the Rangers per se, and then we can talk about that. So I look forward to it, even though despite the loss to the Sabres last night. But no worries. I got all the data, and then we can talk about all that.
I hear you. Yeah, they Truba said it best. No one's going to win 82 games. It's how you respond afterwards. And they've been so far so good with that.
I'm pretty sure he's already got the 5,000 for his high sticking, but, you know, it's good to see it for him.
Again, another meaningless penalty to give a hockey player. But that's what they collectively agreed on, so fuck me. But it's not a deterrent. $5,000? Come on.
Right. Let's get the guys on, and we'll have some fun. Let's see. Let's go to say Glenn. What's up, man? How you doing? How's everything?
Everything is pretty good. An unfortunate loss last night, but, you know, like you say, you're not going to win them all. And, kind of surprising to just get one goal against Buffalo. But, Buffalo's a bad team, or a good team, I mean, that's had a bad start. And, you kind of expect them to pick it up as the season goes on. So maybe they're just kind of starting to get their mojo and play better than they have before. So I don't think it's anything to be too disappointed about.
Right. So when we go around, Glenn, we give like one or two points from you and Scott, myself and RP, but also around the NHL, what's your thoughts? Try to get a little bit of the rest in the NHL as we get through our blue shirts talk. So we could get all that in and out for sure. Scott, what's up, man? How you doing? Thank you for bringing us another win in the city of Philadelphia. How you doing, bro?
Yes, good evening. I had a fun couple of weeks. I hope everybody had a nice Thanksgiving. I got two games in. I went to Philly, and I went to the Columbus game the week before. So I had a good weekend, Yeah, it was back-to-back days, the Philly game, and then I went to, I was telling you, Steve, I went to that absolutely pointless, the most pointless college football game of the year, Rutgers and Maryland. Maryland, of course, my alma mater, so I got to go represent when they're right down the road, but at least they got the win, so it was nice. And, so unfortunately, I didn't get to watch the Boston game. We were in the parking lot. I was listening to the first two periods on the radio. Sounds like I missed a hell of a game. I mean, I watched the highlights afterwards, but that was just a good, without actually watching the game live, from what I was listening to and watching the highlights, just a great, just a smash mouth back and forth, obviously not much defense going on, just all sorts of offense up and down the ice. I know the Rangers had the first like 8 shots in the game before Boston came back and evened it up a little bit, but just a great, that's the kind of game I like to watch. I'm not really much for like the 1-0, 2-1 games, baseball, I'm not much for a pitcher's duel. I want to see 7 home runs in the game, so that's what I like to see, just to, back and forth. High scoring affair. That's the kind of game I like.
I got to get in on that, Scott. I would highly disagree with some of what you just said, because I love the 1-0 road win in Pittsburgh. So, RP, there's a lot of good things we could discuss. There's a lot. Now, RP, before you go, I when it comes back around to my turn, I'll get to some other stuff with our squad. But I want to read off some of the stats we're going to be seeing right now through the end of November, because I said it about a month ago. The Rangers, guess what, RP, where they are in faceoffs. Just take a wild guess, RP.
Without looking, three. Top three.
Yes, that is correct. Number one, they
number
were
one.
Third.
Trocheck's been on fire.
Right. You know, we all know that he leads the way with that. What about goals per game, RP? Goals per game for the Blue Shirts. They were 17th
goals
last time I
brought. Goals per game, probably around 12th.
You were close, 13th. So middle of the pack, pretty good. The upper part of the middle of the pack, right. Goals against, they were second last time I brought this up. Now where are they right now at the end of November?
Fifth.
They were second. Third.
They're second.
Not bad.
Wow.
One spot. No,
oh, that's
power
very good.
Play.
That's,
was,
I thought it would have dropped, though. They gave up some goals that other night, so.
Not bad, right? Not bad. Power play. Second, last time we brought this up. What about right now?
Second.
Third. Still pretty damn good. Pretty good. Now, this is the kicker, the penalty kill. They were, you know, this is not even that bad because they were 10th. They were top 10 last time. 83.9%. Right now, where are they penalty kill?
I said 9th, maybe 8th.
Close, 7th. Pretty good, RP. Pretty good. So I wanted to lead off with that. Also,
like
Kreider
that.
Is still tops in the league in power play goals. Panera, who was second in points at the time, now is, you know, 6 is still pretty damn good.
That's okay.
Oh, I think this is the most important one, and then I'll let you kick off, because this is all great, this is all good news stuff to me.
Yeah.
Last one, because I brought up Igor Shesterkin, his save percentage. If there was ever an error that needed improvement, he was 28th in the league when we brought this up about 3-4 weeks ago. Where is he at right now, Igor Shesterkin? We know Quick is doing the damn thing, but what about Igor?
He was 28th last time we spoke. 20th?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is 14th.
That's a lot of
spots. He's getting close to that .925 right now. That's where I really like my goaltenders be.
Yeah.
This is all great news, RP. So this is total opposite of that doom and negativity. We pissed you off about a month and some change ago. Totally different vibe. Yeah, we lost to Buffalo. But listen, Scott, you know, I can understand, you know, shootouts versus a good Bruins team, but I cannot negate that 1-0 shutout in Pittsburgh, because it is Pittsburgh. I know they got some aging all-stars and aging Hall of Famers, but hey, that is a beautiful win, especially Lafreniere's goal.
That was a great goal.
So, Arfie, I said enough. I wanted to make sure we got those in. Your thoughts, we go to Glenn. And if you got thoughts around the NHL, along with your Rangers thoughts, RP, Glenn, and Scott, I'll do the same when it's my turn. I just wanted to make sure we got that on the table. This is all good news. Rangers are in first place. But here's my number one question, RP, despite reading those points. How much separation could we get in the division right now? We're off to a good start. How much separation could we get?
I don't know how much separation to get, because we've been saying all along how tight this division is and how it's going to be all year. But we're not going to win every game, as we were talking about a little while ago. So, it's going to be a dogfight all the way to the end of the season. It really is, and you hope that when the playoffs start, Laviolette finds a way to make sure there's another couple of years to jump out of the gate when the playoffs start. But this is going to be one of those nail-biting kind of seasons all the way around, in my opinion. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. I mean, I love it, so I get into that. I mean, what are they now? 20 games played, 31 points. They got a 7-point lead over the Hurricanes, the same amount of games played. Now, the optimistic person in me says, oh, that's really cool, right, guys? If you would have thought 20 games into the season, we'd have a 7-point lead, you'd be like, that's pretty good. 3 more wins in the Hurricanes and all. But then pessimistic Frank kicks in, or as my friends call me, Grumpy Frank, and I go, there's 62 more games to go. We've seen anything happen. So I would just want to see them keep the pedal down and keep playing the way they're playing. The most important thing to me is how you play after a loss. I know we have a lot of losses, but they're playing right now, as long as you prevent those 2-3-4-game losing streaks. Let's switch gears a minute. You want to talk a little bit about the NHL, so I have some news for our Rangers fans. of you people, all of our great fans who want to see Patrick Kane back at Madison Square Garden, be sure you check out tomorrow's game when he wears number 80 for the Red Wings. Damn it. Because they gave him a nice little contract, guys. Not something the Rangers could have never have afforded before. $2.75. They had no chance in hell of signing him today, right now, with that number. Because remember, even though we have people on long-term IR, when they all come back, how do you make it work? So before everyone says, oh, Kako's on long-term, and we can talk about that in a minute, and Hedl, unfortunately, they put on long-term, even though he's skating, and Fox just came off it. I even though we're short a right wing right now, I just don't, there was no way he could make that work. So it is what it is. I hope it works out well. I'm sure Scott and Glenn have seen all the numbers, and they're all bad numbers when it comes to hockey players with this procedure that he had. Backman of the Capitals just stepped away from the game because he just couldn't handle the pain after the surgery. There were three or four other guys that never played another game, and I forgot who the one player who skated other than Backman that sort of made it work but didn't really have the point production. It's an uphill battle, but hell, almost $3 million, I give it a shot too, right?
Mm-hmm. Let's now, go to Glenn and get his story. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to, Glenn, the Kako injury, the good news, no surgery apparently. He's on long-term IR, which we expected, but he could come back this season. He probably will if he doesn't need surgery. I wasn't too thrilled about Hedl going on long-term until I read that it was strictly a salary cap move because he started skating again. So we may not be in as bad shape as we thought, but who takes over for Kako long-term? He's probably, in my opinion, going to be out at least 2 months. I mean, unless it's just a bad sprain and he'll be able to bounce back, but that wasn't the feeling he gave the media when LaViolette spoke about it this afternoon.
Yeah, well, I have seen today, as you said, RP, I think the issue with Hedl was just a paperwork thing. I read that he can come back, you know, as soon as he's ready, but he just got put on long-term, not because of any setback from his injury, but just, I guess, for, you know, cap purposes and whatever else. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. Unfortunately, with Kako, I had mentioned last week, just leave him out there until I was saying leave him out there on the first line and see what he can do until Christmas. But that's a moot point now. I don't know how serious it is, but if he's out, well into the season, then yeah, they're going to have to figure out something. Now, I don't know if they think maybe Hoffman is ready. I don't know how much cap space they're going to have to bring someone in that's going to, make a difference. I mean, you're talking now probably a third line right wing, since they're going to probably wind up leaving Wheeler on the first line. And obviously Lafreniere is pretty entrenched in the second line. So, whether it's moving somebody up like a VZ and plugging somebody else into the fourth line, or if it's time for Hoffman, or if they want to, give him a little more time in the AHL, which, probably wouldn't be a bad thing, and see where they are around Christmas time. But I think they've got, the players there, as I said, you move VZ to the third line or Goodrow, and you plug in somebody else on the fourth line. I would anticipate that's probably what they're going to do in the short term, wouldn't you?
Well, I'll give you a quick little – they recalled Brodinski and Edstrom this morning, and in practice they had the top two lines were the same. Zibanejad, Kreider, Wheeler, Trocheck, Panarin, Lafreniere. And then the third line, all they did was put Brodinski in Kako's spot, and they kept Bonino and Cooley. I actually like that better because right now, I guess like over the last five games, guys, the Rangers fourth line might be one of the best in the league. VC, Pitlick, and Goodrow are all getting points. They're all playing well. They're getting a lot of ice time. They're killing penalties. I don't think LaViolette wanted to break up any of the lines. So the best way of doing that was to just drop Brodinski in there, who's played with Cooley. I think he played with Cooley last year anyway. Bonino's can play with anybody. The guy's got some. He's becoming a fan favorite. So
Real quick, I chimed in because I was going to say this later, but since you brought his name up, I might as well say Brzezinski, as of right now, leads the AHL in total points. So playing with confidence with the Hartford Wolfpack. So I just wanted to put that little 2 cents in there.
Probably why I didn't pull Austin up, because Brzezinski, he was on the cusp of making a team, but Cooley had a really, really good training camp.
Mm-hmm.
So and then he's leading, like you said, with all the points. So he definitely, in my opinion, deserved it. And really – really quick, Lindgren, Fox also was a full participant and looks like he'll be playing tomorrow night with Jones being the back to the seven. So it's back to our regular six. Okay. So with that, let me go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Glenn.
I was just going to say, I don't know how I forgot about Brzezinski, but every time they brought him up to fill in somewhere, he's been more than adequate. So I agree. That's a great idea.
Oh, yeah. So, Scott, do we like just dropping Brzezinski in there, or did you want to see them try to keep VC going, though, that would put him on the off wing?
No, I like VC where he is. I mean, I think he's found a home there, and it was great to see in that Boston game, you know, he scored, Pitlick scored, Bonino scored. You know, it's good to see those guys, in that, Rangers-Boston is always going to be one of those meat and potatoes games, so it's good to see the meat and potatoes guys getting those goals. So that was nice to see. As far as Brzezinski, I always liked him, but I always thought of him as more of a, third and fourth line, bottom six guy. But, what I didn't realize was what you just said about him leading the AHL in scoring. So if that's the case, and there's a case to be made for him on the top six, then sure. Because up until about 3 minutes ago when you said that, I was ready to come in here guns blazing about Ottman. that's obviously a game changer if he's putting the puck in the net, which is clearly what we need. I was listening, I listened to your guys' show last week, and I forgot who mentioned it, but you before the Kako injury, you guys were talking about, like, do we actually have a right wing problem like we had last year if Kako is, not going to be effective? And that was, before the injury the other day. So, last night. So, if Brzezinski can be that top six guy, if he deserves a shot, sure. Regarding Ottman, I just don't understand why he, and again, Brzezinski lighting it up, changes that, but, these guys can, what can they have? They can have 9 games, without sacrificing the rookie year?
10.
Okay. So, why not give Ottman a couple games, see what he can do? Everybody keeps saying he's not ready, which obviously is the case. I'm not disputing that, but give him a chance, see what he can do. I know he didn't have as good of a training camp this year as he did last year. I thought last year was spectacular, but I understand them, with just strictly OHL experience. I understand them not making the team last year to get that AHL experience. Or, I'm sorry, last year it was NHL or nothing at all because of the contract, so I completely understand that. I don't, why not give him a couple games, see what he can do, see if he is ready, unless the logic might be, maybe they don't want to burn a couple games here and there, because maybe they are the logic of Drury and Laviolette is get him another month to 2 months of solid AHL experience and then bring him up for that. Not waste any of those 10 games now, not 2 games here, 2 games there. Give him 10 straight to put a little something together. Whereas, 2 games now and then send him back, he's not going to accomplish anything. He's not going to, he's not going to mature at all with just 2 games, so maybe the logic there is to give him another couple of months experience in the AHL before giving him a, solid game. So I guess I'll pose that question to whoever wants it. I guess the question would be, do you think he's just not ready at all this year, or do you think they might be thinking something like that, you know, to bundle him up with the 10 games or less without burning a couple here and there so he can actually get, you know, those, you know, 7, 8, 9 games in a row to actually show what he can do, and they want to give him a little more AHL time before doing that. So I guess whoever wants that can field that one.
Yeah, I think my preference would be to leave him down there for now. I don't think they need to bring him up. I agree that, you know, you really don't want to break up the fourth line. I mean, the fourth line pretty much won the Boston game, and they've been playing lights out since they've been together. So, yeah, I think it'll be better, you know, bring up Radinsky, especially if he's scoring a bit. It sounds like he might actually be an upgrade from Kako. From what we've seen so far from him this season. But, you know, I can see, I know they brought Cully up, I think it was maybe January last year for 3 or 4 games to fill in a pinch, just give him a little taste of being in the NHL. I think we're going to see Ottman this year, but I think the preference would be for them to, you know, leave him down there. I don't know, maybe RP, you know. I mean, I've heard he's been okay down there, not necessarily, you know, lighten it up, but he's been okay. So I think that, you know, give him a little more experience down there, and then as they get further in the season, you know, we see what happens with Kako, we see what the needs are, and, you know, who knows? I mean, he could be the Chris Kreider from 2012 who comes up, you know, sometime in March and having mostly a full season in the AHL and, you know, can fill in a big hole going into the playoffs. So, I think my preference would be to leave him down there. But, I mean, RP, how has he been doing down there? Have you heard much?
He's 5 goals, 13 points. He's getting a lot. He's got 62 shots. He's taken 62 shots, which is good. I just think with the Rangers record where they're playing right now, there's just no need to rush him up. He's been up here. There's less pressure on him. I think whenever the time comes that they call this kid up, he's going to have the weight of the world on him in the beginning because everyone's expecting so much of him, and there's no need to put him into that now. And he's a smart kid. He knows he's just biding his time to come up, and he's just learning, you know, to be, you know, in a professional hockey league now, you know, compared to where he was. And he's just playing his game. But, you know, he's not having a horrible time. 13 points in 18 games. You know,
that's pretty good.
21 penalty minutes, so he's showing that aggression too, which I like. That's see, he's not taking any crap down there, so I think right move by them just to, you know, be a little patient with them. There's really when you have a Brodinski, luckily for the Rangers, you have a little bit of depth that you can call them up. I mean, like Steve was saying, Brodinski's played 16 games, 11 goals, 25 points. He's playing really well. He's got 18. What is it? He's got 11 goals on 57 shots. He's playing strong. He deserves the call-up. And I think at this point, he'll probably be able to contribute just a little bit more just because he's a little bit more comfortable. He had an excellent training camp. You know, you got to remember those last 2-3 training camp games with Ottman. He was on the fourth line. He was scratched one of the games. So that's nothing bad. The Rangers knew they were sending him down. The Rangers wanted to look at Brodinski and Cooley, and now they got both of them up there. So we had said he would probably be the first call-up on an injury. And now he'll be up here for a while, and you can really see what he's got. He's playing on a first-place team there, first-place overall in the NHL. He's coming onto a line that plays really hard. Cooley and Bonino have been playing well together. Even though Kako's been up and down, those two guys have been playing hard and being productive, and you know they're involved in a lot of the play. Brodinski is a big boy who likes to take the body, so I'm looking forward to him here. I think he's going to be contributing. I don't think he's just going to be a guy, you know. The third line gets a lot of minutes right now. Bobby Lett's been able to roll 4 lines with the way the schedule is laid out. So we'll see what he can do, but it was definitely the right move to bring him up.
Yeah, I like the move as far as if there was to go to Johnny Brodinski. I also like the fact that Hartford as a team in the AHL side of things, the only team that's plus 20 – from points for versus points against, the only team that's with that big of differential. They're playing very good. So we talked about scoring. We talked about where the Rangers are currently or where they were about 3 to 4 weeks ago, how they upped their points per game. And then also we talked about the right wing problem, or it could have been a problem, where it seems like we have insurance policies right there, where I would have said differently a couple of weeks ago or even last week, where now we saw Blake Wheeler getting Zibanejad as it was another problem. Remember, we talked about when is Zibanejad going to start kicking through. Well, thanks to Blake Wheeler, especially in the Philadelphia game, Scott was at, was able to get going, and then also add in another goal versus the Sabres. So we're starting to resolve some problems that are concerns that we did have. Zibanejad starting to find the back of the net that, you know, we always want to see Mika produce. Blake Wheeler, a guy we, and I've said it on previous episodes as far as, is, you know, hard to play in New York. But I thought him setting up Zibanejad, especially in transition, I don't think the Flyers defensively were ready for that. And I think for now it could be a temporary fix until whatever decision they do decide as far as the top three, especially at right wing, or, you know, keep Wheeler down in the lineup. All good problems, even have solutions. Backup behind backups are producing. I'm not in a rush to bring up Ottman. I mean, that's a good problem to have. We don't have to rush him. I love that. So, I'll go back to you, whoever wants to take the mic, as far as – well, let me go back to the Buffalo game. I thought the Buffalo game, especially in the first period, Buffalo made some hell of great saves, especially in the first period. The Panarin breakaway, the Kreider scoring opportunity. So it's not like the Rangers was just flat and they just disappeared in the game. It's just that they looked as sharp like they did against Boston on Saturday. Just great, you know, saves. Even the VC shot, I thought, you know, that should have had a great chance to hit the back of the net, and the goalie put the stick out on the save. But there was one thing that did concern me. We kind of talked about this over the months last season. And the defense, standalone defensive play, Keandre Miller. I definitely want to get your thoughts, RP, Scott, and Glenn. Alex Tuch especially muscled him for that first goal when they made it 2-0, you know, late in the second period. And then also that Lukanen, after the save, the big save on VC in the third, that wrist shot, which set up by, you know, Keandre Miller previously in that sequence, just out of position. So there was kind of, to me, a target, not a target, but a mishap on Keandre Miller individually, where, you know, we finally got on the board and defensively he kind of got out-muscled by Alex Tuch on one play, and then on the other play, especially late in the game where they made it 3-1 after the Mika power play goal. I thought defensively he looked as small, and that's not totally Keandre Miller's thoughts. I don't know if you guys really want to – I'm not saying I'm making a big deal. It's just looking at the little takeaways from the Buffalo game, right? If you guys want to add in onto that. RP, from what are your thoughts from the Buffalo game? But overall, the shutout in Pittsburgh and Scott's boy Lafreniere on his way to the Hart Trophy, right, Scott? So we're good. I think we're all right. I mean, outside of that, you know, Buffalo owed us because we beat them opening night in Buffalo. Buffalo's not a bad team, so I'm not going to overreact. So whatever you guys' thoughts, like somebody mentioned, Patrick Kane, possibly. Nah, I don't know. Versus the, I don't think he's playing, right? Is he playing? Too soon, right?
Probably too soon. But then again, he's been skating, so who knows? You know, he's already missed 20 games. They're paying him $3 million, 2.75 for only 60 games. So I'm sure they want him in the lineup right away. So, and Dylan Moss is not playing tomorrow night because he's hurt. So who knows? Might get him in and get him a little power play time, or they may make him wait. But
it's really weird to see him in the Red Wings jersey.
All right, yeah. Scott, since I'm going to kind of jump on this one, did you see the first period the way Steve saw the first period? Because Steve, he didn't think he played too bad. That, personally, for me, I thought the Flyers, they've been all year. They could have made a pass out of their zone to save their lives in the first period. I thought
last night's game?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think the first period was an epic disaster, but it was definitely noticeable that they were flat. Looks like they were still riding the high from the Boston game, and you know what, we use the term, you know, it was a stinker, and you know, they thankfully have not had many of them. Like you said earlier in the call, it's not about having a stinker, it's how they respond. And you know, Steve, I didn't mean to say I don't appreciate a good 1-0 game. I'm just saying, if I had my choice, I like to see a shootout, not literally, but you know, a shooting gallery, we should say. I mean, I do appreciate the 1-0 game. I mean, remember the game 6 Montreal 2014 with the Dominic Moore only goal of the game. I mean, that was one of the most edge of my seat moments I've had since 94. You know, you do appreciate Cave. I don't mean to say I don't appreciate
it. Let me rephrase it like this. Do you appreciate a 1-0 Lafreniere game-winning goal game on Pittsburgh, or do you like, a shootout over the, you know, the Boston Bruins, who are in first place in the Atlantic? Which one would you have, you know, prefer if you had to really pick one? You still take the shootout, or are you trying to stay away from that Lafreniere?
Well, I mean, I think I'm going to take the 7-4, and I think the fact that it was Boston, it was a Saturday afternoon, you know, the Thanksgiving weekend, showdown, whatever the hell they call that thing. You know, I think there were more factors to it, just the score alone, the whole Boston thing. You know, we take over best record in the league with a regulation win, just everything about that. There were a lot of factors there that all fit into that. But, yeah, I like that result better. That being said, I think the 1-0 win over Pittsburgh was very, very important because they had just gotten blown out by Dallas the last game before. And again, it's how they respond. And respond with a great defensive effort, a great goaltending effort, a good solid chess match of a game that they can win in Pittsburgh. And let's be realistic, Pittsburgh is always a tough game in the Crosby era. Well, I guess pretty much always. You know, before that, it was the Lemieux era. So, you know, Pittsburgh is always going to be a tough game, especially in that building. Doesn't matter how much better we are than them. Maybe, you know, the exception being the 2015 playoffs, but you know, look at 2 years ago. I think we were significantly the better team on paper and had to come back from 3-1 again. So, you know, the fact that they can rebound from that stinker in Dallas with a solid, solid effort all around, you know, I definitely appreciate that with the 1-0. And yes, you know, Hart Trophy candidate Alexis Lafreniere with that beautiful move, the same move that he did on that on that shootout winner, but something. So yeah, I'm very pleased with both of those. And again, you know, they followed up a stinker with a 3-game win streak. So let's see how they respond here against a very contending Detroit team that may or may not be adding one of the best probably the best American player ever, but we'll see what he's got, if he plays at all. But I don't know, one thing I wanted to bring up, I wanted to bring this up last week, but obviously it wasn't here. And I listened to the show and I noticed that you guys didn't really talk too much about those 4 straight, in my opinion, just atrocious reviews. But we don't really need to harp on the 2, you know, the goals, the Columbus goal that I don't see how that's not a goal. And then, of course, the Devils goal where the whistle blew with the puck 8 inches before the line, but somehow still counts. But whatever, we won both games, moving on. But, you know, one of my complaints that I've, you know, obviously harped on is the NHL's lack of doing anything to protect the players and to really discipline dirty hits. You know, we see it with Marchand and Wilson, you know, on the phone for their 17th hearing, getting their 8th suspensions, and they're getting 2 games, you know, maybe 5 for a 7th time, you know, offender. But, you know, 2 of those reviews, of those 4 against the Rangers. Now, I was at the Columbus game, and I know it was a 5-minute major that they reviewed and knocked it down to 2. And I do like the fact that they can review the 5-minute major, because a 5-minute major can just, you know, be an absolute game changer. You know, case in point, Vegas Sharks game 7, where they scored like 9 goals on the Sharks, you know, scored like 9 goals on that 5-minute major and completely flipped game 7. So I do like the fact that they can review it. Now, what I've never seen before is in that Devils game, I don't think I've ever seen them
review a five-minute major and say it's no penalty at all. I mean, you know, you see that term in football, you know, picking up the flag. I didn't think the NHL did that. And let's, in my opinion, you know, maybe you guys saw it differently, but I think the principal point of contact was definitely Lindgren's jaw. You know, they give you some leeway if it's, you know, chest first and then it glances up in the follow-through, and they should give you leeway for that. But I, in my opinion, the principal point of contact was the jaw, so it should have been five there. And at the very least, the hit was late, so it's interference or roughing, whatever they call for the late hit. And they went from a five-minute major to nothing at all. I don't understand that. I don't think I've ever seen that. And if you guys have, you know, let, you know, say, like, you know, you've seen a situation like that. I've never seen the NHL pick up a flag before, especially on a five-minute major. And that, you know, is just one of three straight, really, where the NHL just proved over and over again they have nothing, no interest in dirty hits. And, you know, just to show them fair about it, Trouba absolutely should have gotten suspended. I mean, that was a two-handed Mark McGwire to the head. You know, and I don't think he was trying to hurt the guy. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. I think it was just like a kind of a reflex, you know, knee-jerk reaction or whatnot. So I don't think he was trying to hurt the guy. But that being said, it was a two-handed chop to the head. How do you not suspend the guy? I'm glad that he didn't as a Ranger fan, but I mean, you don't. I try to look at these things objectively as a hockey fan first, and you know, I think you have to suspend the guy.
I agree.
So there's two. So there's picking up the flag on the five-minute major. There's that, no suspension. And you had a slew foot the other night. I don't know if you guys saw that play. It was Detroit and whoever, but the Detroit guy got blatantly slew-footed, and the NHL has, you know, the hits to the head is one thing, but the NHL has never, ever done anything about slew-footing. Now, they did suspend the guy. I think they gave him two games, but you got to give him five for that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, you know, Sidney Crosby made a career out of it for at least the first, like, decade of his career. I think he matured a little bit. P.K. Subban never matured. You know, he was a career slew-footer. I mean, he was the Ted Bundy of slew-foots. You know, and they never did anything about these guys. And now you got another one. I mean, the slew-foot is a terrible. You got a defenseless player falling all his weight, you know, midair and falling on his head and back. You know, two games is unacceptable. And I think it's just, you know, three calls in a row where the NHL just proved, you know, once again reiterated the fact that they are an absolute joke when it comes to, you know, player safety and, you know, doing anything about the dirty hits. It's disgraceful is what it is. I mean, obviously, you know, this is not the first time I brought this up plenty of times about how pathetic they are with the dirty hits. And I think there's three in a row where they got egg on their face. So, you know, I just wanted to bitch about that.
I don't know if anybody wants to forward on that. I got another one for you, Scott, on a call I hadn't seen ever in the Boston. I think it was the Boston game. There was a delayed penalty. I think Lindgren got hit in the mouth. A delayed penalty. The Rangers scored on a delay. Since they declared it was going to be a double minor after the delayed penalty goal, they still gave the Rangers a power play. I've never seen that call.
Yeah, I was listening to that on the radio, and I was remarking to my sister. I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen that before. But at least I guess that's the proper call.
Yeah, but I've never normally in past when there's a delayed penalty and it's called, they never even. I've never seen them go. I don't know if that's part of the new system with, you know, if you have a double minor, you can review it, or a major, you can review it. But I never saw a delayed penalty, and they've been talking about changing the rule. That next season, that if there is a delayed penalty and you score, they will still call the penalty. Because they're trying, I don't know, they're trying to increase goal scoring, I guess.
Yeah.
But I never saw that. It was a double minor, and then they still gave him a 2 minute. And I was, by the time it clicked in my head, the foul play was over. But I've never seen that ever. So I don't know.
I mean, that wasn't as
bad as the reviews. The reviews have been atrocious. I agree with you. I think. You know something, the problem with the reviews is sometimes video replay does worse than more harm than good. Sometimes I like it better when the referee just comes on the ice and you moved it, depending on the play. I don't understand why we have to review in the heat of a moment, a five-minute major, because a lot of times they're calling it as a five-minute major because they know they can review it. Just like in football, when there's a backward pass or a fumble, they don't blow the ball. They don't blow the whistle anymore. They let the whole play play out, and then they can go and review it and then correct it. So I don't know if they're taking a page out of the NFL's book, but I think you're seeing more five-minute majors, and then it's being dropped down to either a double minor, unless you're the New York Rangers when it's absolutely nothing. But it is something that they don't you know, give the media, the fans, the bloggers, whatever you want to say, any information. Once in a while, player safety will put a text out or a quick alert. When Brendan Shanahan was running it, he used to do videos. This is why it was called. This is why it wasn't called. Even if it's the next day. Here you get a quick little text message. This is why it wasn't. And even though they're telling you that, it doesn't make sense when you actually see it. And then it just moves on. So I've come to the point that when there's a review, we're just going to lose and just get ready to move on. It's easier and less disappointing.
Yeah, no, agreed. And again, I do like the fact that Scott, hold on. Let's get Glenn's thoughts because
we haven't heard from Glenn in a while. Glenn, what are your thoughts on everything what Scott said as far as the reviews and all that?
That's okay. Yeah, no, I was just enjoying listening to you guys. I agree. I had never seen either of those instances. In fact, it's funny, the one where they called the four-minute and, you know, we scored, I actually was seeing one of my hockey friends saying, we still get a penalty out of, you know, a two-minute power play out of that? And he said, yes, he knew. So I don't know how he knew, but I had never seen that before. But getting back to the hit on Lindgren, I mean, player safety in the NHL has been habitually awful for years and years. Whether it's number of games for suspensions, no suspensions. I think you're right. What they're doing RP is, you know, they'll call a five and wait to see if it gets downgraded to a two rather than call a two. And then, you know, somebody calls down from Toronto and says, no, that's a five. So, I mean, I think they're probably being instructed to do that. You know, I really thought that when the NHL, for the most part, got rid of fighting or certainly brought the number of fights down, that they would, you know, be a little more careful about player safety. Because obviously that was, you know, back in the day you had enforcers that were on the bench just to go out and fight at one point during the game and that was it. But, a lot of the guys would say, you know, they're out there to protect their teammates from a dirty hit. And I really thought when they downgraded the fighting that they would really try to eliminate a lot of those dirty hits that precipitated fights in the first place. And, it's funny. I feel like so many of the fights that you see now in the NHL are guys coming after a guy who actually delivered a clean hit. And we've talked about that before. Especially in Trouba's case last year and even a little bit this year, we talked about he delivers a clean hit and somebody goes after him right away. And I don't know what the answer is, but, I mean, I agree. The NHL's got to do a lot more about player safety, and it's very frustrating to see that they haven't done that just for years and years and years. And I think it really is a case where, you know, you got to start really suspending guys for, a meaningful amount of time to make them think twice about doing what they're doing. So I don't know why that hasn't happened in the NHL. It's very frustrating. But that's something that I think they need to do a far better job doing than they do, and it's been going on for a long time.
Okay, I mean, anything else, Glenn, our squad around the NHL, your thoughts, or anything else like that? Or?
Well, yeah, I'll mention a couple weeks ago, one of us, I don't remember who it was, when we were looking at that seven-game stretch, ending with the Boston game, predicted that the Rangers were going to go 5-2. I don't remember who that was, but he was wrong. They went 6-1. anyway, the two games that I was looking at when I said 5-2 were the Dallas game and the Boston game, obviously. And The reason for that was I thought that, you know, we had gotten off to a real strong start, obviously, but we had yet to play, you know, Boston or Vegas or Colorado or, you know, any of the top teams that we were scrambling with for points. So losing the Dallas game, obviously, in a away game, Dallas is a good team. You know, you're not going to beat good teams all the time. But that made the Boston game to me on Saturday even more significant, because if they had lost that game, then, you know, you start to wonder, geez, you know, they're beating everybody, but they're not beating the good teams. And I think with that win against Boston, I think that the Rangers have become a measuring stick for other teams rather than the Rangers looking at other teams and say, all right, let's see how well we stack up against this team or that team. And I think that's a good thing. I think there's no team in this league that the Rangers or Ranger fans should fear. And I think it's just as much fans of the other team looking at the Rangers and say, all right, let's see how well we stack up against them. So, you know, as far as the league goes and looking at the Rangers against, you know, some of the top teams, which I've been doing, you know, I still want to see them play Dallas and Colorado or Vegas and Colorado and some of the other teams, Carolina even. No, I think they showed themselves very well in that seven-game streak. And, you know, I mean, that's all the more reason for optimism. I mean, I see that Vegas is in a little bit of a rut now. They've gone 3-5-2, you know, and as good of a team as they are, I'm still going to question their goaltending until Aiden Hill shows me that, you know, the playoffs weren't just a hot goalie finding some luck. So, yeah.
Glenn, Aiden Hill leads the league in goaltending percentage. He's number one, though.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen too many Vegas games. All right, so point counterpoint. All right, he's doing the job. But, I still wonder if they're, you know, actually going to come out of the West. I mean, I think that Dallas is going to. But we'll see. But I stand corrected.
So let me ask you this, Glenn. We got Detroit, Nashville. We owe Nashville, right? They beat us in that flag game, and I said, oh, the season's over. So we go to Nashville on Saturday, and they got the Sharks. So by the time we play the Senators next Tuesday, give us a record. You're giving, and your lotto numbers, too, by the way. Give us all your
points. I don't want to push my luck here, you know. I don't know if I want to push my luck, but you know, I'll be kind of disappointed, especially with Dylan Larkin out, if they don't beat Detroit, and I will really be disappointed if they lose to San Jose. So you know, the one game Nashville. I mean, Nashville has been playing pretty well. They're pretty good. UC Soros is a good goalie. He could steal the game for them. So I mean, it's possible that you know, they can go down to Nashville and lose. So. All right, you're pushing me, Steve. I didn't want to do this, but I'll say next three games, 2-1, and I think they'll beat Ottawa, too. So 3-1.
Man, all right. What about you, Scott? What do you think in the next few games? Same thing with you, RP. What do you think as far as what we're going to be next Tuesday by the time we do a post game versus the Senators?
Well, first of all, Glenn, you're going to be on the spot for record predictions. You brought this on yourself ever since that ridiculous 5-0 prediction on the road trip. Absolutely ridiculous, and you wouldn't even suggest that. But so you brought this on yourself, and now you know you're on the spot for the rest of the season. Now, in fact, we got to talk about. I want to put some bets in next week, so we got to talk about this. No, me personally, I mean, I'm still cautiously optimistic, and you know, the good news is there have only been three regular season losses. It was four last night. So the good news is, you know, there haven't been that many, but every time they do have one, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Maybe it won't, you know, maybe, I think they're playing a little bit above their heads, but maybe this is the team. Maybe this is the team we have. You know, they've responded very well. So we'll see what they're, how they're going to respond. I think tomorrow's a great game. Cause like you guys just said, you know, about, you know, beating the very good teams, and that's why the Boston win was so satisfying. I don't know if Detroit is quite at that elite level yet, but they are definitely a scrappy, good team. And, you know, this is going to be a tough matchup. I don't really put too much stock in the whole Original Six thing anymore, but it is what it is. So, you know, this will be an interesting game. Tomorrow, you know, Sharks, when do we have the Sharks over the weekend?
We have Sharks on Sunday.
Okay. I mean, you know, any, they're all, you know, we've used that cliche a bunch of times. Anybody can beat anybody, and, you know, the old trap game, you know, there's a million cliches you can use, but, you know, hopefully they can take care of the business like they're supposed to. You know, I'd rather, I mean, I don't want to lose that. I don't lose any game, but I don't want to lose that game. But if I had to choose, I'd rather, you know, beat a team like Boston if it meant losing to a crappy team that you know for a fact that will not be they will not have to meet in the playoffs in any round. You know, yes, I want to beat Boston and the Sharks, but you know, if I had to choose between beating up on a garbage team or beating a, you know, possible, you know, Eastern Conference Final, a team that they might meet in the Eastern Conference Final, you know, real legit contender, I'd rather have the strong showing against the contender. So, you know, but again, hopefully we don't have to choose. But, yeah, no, I just get nervous after a win. I'm sorry, after a loss, because, you know, RP, like you said early on, they weren't going to win 82 games, and there will be a losing streak at some point. Hopefully it's no more than two, three, four at the worst, but there will be some kind of losing streak. So, you know, let's not panic if they drop tomorrow night for two in a row. Because
how many games
Scott?
How many games, when you say losing streak, give me a number. Like, will you tell
me already, will you? What's the prediction?
Oh, jeez. I don't know. How many games are we talking?
We're talking the Red Wings, Predators, Sharks, and Senators. The next four.
Should be 3-1 easily.
I'm going, I'm going to go what Glenn would consider a very conservative 3-1 prediction.
It took you all that time to come around to 3-1.
Yes. Well, RP, Jesus. I don't know if you're new to this show, but I occasionally like to hear myself talk. What? I don't know if you knew that.
No, I'm well aware. I just kind of thought that you were going to take a gamble and say 4-0, or go the other way and go, you know, they might go 2-2 and tank a little here. 3-1 is the obvious
I'm still cautiously optimistic. I know that's not, you know, that's pretty much betting on the favorite. That's not exactly a ballsy prediction, but that's where I'm going.
I tell you what. Go ahead.
My quick answer, it should be 3-1. I you got to give me a reason why it would be 2-2. You would have to give me a reason why it would be 2-2 based on how they're playing now, despite the injuries.
Because if they go 2-2.
Yeah.
No, they have to go a reasonable, because we're not going to win every game, theory is 3-1. The good thing about this team is when you look at those four games deep down, we could be saying the way Quick is playing, we could go 4-0. So I like that we can even think that, though we really don't want to call it. But if you and that's where the Rangers are right now. Going 2-2 is like, it's almost like a failure. It's almost like a wasted 4 points, you know?
I agree.
Because of how they're playing and because how bad the Sharks are playing, Ottawa's in a huge tailspin. But I tell you what, tomorrow night's game is going to be an easy game. Red Wings have been playing some good hockey. I think they're 11-6. They're not playing bad hockey, not having Larkin in the big list. So, you know, I think what really helps the Rangers, guys, is that Quick is playing so damn well right now. I mean, last year our backup goalie didn't get his first win to mid-December, and here he's got 6 wins with 2 shutouts and doesn't have a regulation loss. So you want to know something? If he keeps playing like that, watch out for that little range of Twitter talk in the background going, "Is Quick playing better than Shesterkin?"
Yeah,
I don't think he is, and I don't think it's going to be an issue at all. But it's great to know if Shesterkin stumbles a little, you know, you can play Quick 2 games in a row without even thinking about it. The team plays great in front of him. I heard he's a great locker room guy. So they're in a good spot. So when you know, December is a real December is a real tough month when you're just looking over at all the games. Yeah, you play the Maple Leafs twice. You got the Bruins again. You play the Sabres again. You have the Caps in here a couple of times. December is one of those months when you come out of it ahead of the game. Man, you're going to have a strong second half of the season. And look how well the Rangers have done. No Adam Fox, no Hedel.
Right, right.
And they're still, you know, and like Steve said earlier, their depth is showing. You know, you can complain about Zach Jones, but he did get better as he played through these games and knew he wouldn't be coming out of the lineup. So the depth is there. The depth now, you know, hopefully Brzezinski does his job, and now we have a little bit of depth on the right wing. We're going to need more because I don't think Kako will be back anytime soon. So they're still going to have to kind of figure out that problem. Maybe Ockman's the answer. Maybe he's not. But looking at these games, 3-1 would be a good four-game set. And let's just hope they can do it. There are no crappy teams, at least when they play the Rangers. It seems that whenever we play Columbus or even not that Buffalo's a crappy team, but they're not a great team, everyone always seems to step up when they're playing against the Rangers. It's just how it is. So it is any night anybody could beat us, and any night we can beat anybody. So it's great to be in that spot. It's a little bit similar to 2 years ago when we went to the Eastern Conference Final. I think that year the Rangers only lost 2 games in a row once, maybe twice in the regular season.
Yeah, yeah.
Even yesterday's game, you think about it, how bad I thought they played in the first period, and they couldn't really get a goal. What was it, the beginning of the third or the end of the first? They were only down 2-1 at that point. I think it was in the third when Zibanejad scored on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the good teams find ways to at least stay in games when they just don't have it. And even Laviolette said that was just a bad game for them. From beginning to end, it wasn't Ranger hockey. But in the third period, you're only down a goal against the Sabres. So on the flip side to that, you're one goal away from tying it and getting, you know, maybe stealing a point or whatever it may be. So I like the team that they have right now. You never feel that you're out of it. You know, your big guys are starting to come on. Zibanejad's starting to play better. Wheeler is starting to play better. Panarin and Lafreniere have definitely been the two highlights of the entire season, and I never thought I'd say that. But Lafreniere is playing with such confidence right now, he wants the puck. And we haven't seen that in the last 4 seasons. The kid wants the puck. Right. And Panarin and him just seem to be that click. You know, Gallant played them two a little bit early on, but he didn't give it enough time. And I like the way Laviolette's coaching. He's giving his players the opportunity to be successful, or he's giving them enough time to not work out. So, yeah, because they have a lot of things going in the right direction. You just got to keep playing consistent.
All right, cool. Let's get into final thoughts. I'll start off with the final thoughts because we only got like 2 minutes. So let me give me like 40, 45 seconds. I probably glossed over the OHL from when I was trying to get more into the smaller circuits onto this episode. But as far as the NHL, the rest of the league, the Panthers stuck out in November for me. They won 7 of the last 8. They had a notable win versus the Hurricanes. And when watching a couple of those games, Alexander Barkov and Sam Reiner and Carter Verhaeghe, they're starting to pick up their place and be behind Boston in the standings. And that also adds into what the hell's going on with the Maple Leafs. I know, when are they going to start to turn the corner? I had them winning the division, right? So I didn't know. They lost the last 2, Chicago and Pittsburgh, but before that, they did win 4 in a row, Calgary, Vancouver, at Detroit, at Minnesota. That was the sloop. In that game, or in those games, and there's been talks with Maple Leafs, you know, follow their blogs, William Nylander, what's going to happen with him, but he's been playing very well. Over the last stretch, he had the power play goal and the shorthanded goal versus Calgary. He also had the game-winning goal in Minnesota. Another power play goal on top of that in Detroit. But Minnesota is really, you know, I wasn't really high on them anyway because I said in the beginning of the season I don't think they had enough scoring. They had a rough November. They lost 7 in a row starting with us. They, you know, starting that losing streak against the Blue Shirts. And then Buffalo, Dallas, Ottawa, Toronto, Colorado, Detroit. I mean, that is a little bit of a gauntlet, but damn, I mean, and you guys were mentioning the Slewfoot incident with Ryan Hartman and DeBrincat. So they're definitely involved with that. And Connor McDavid returned. So we'll see how they get back into the Pacific Division. But great episode, guys. I just wanted to make sure we get all that in. You guys mentioned the Wolfpack and Brzezinski. I want to make sure we set some light on him, how well he's been playing in the AHL. So those are my final thoughts. Let's go to Glenn, go to Scott, and then RP.
Yeah, just a little. I know we don't have much time. A little bit around the league. I mean, Florida is kind of surprising me a little bit because usually, you know, Bob has one good year and one bad year, and this was due to be a bad year. But he's played very well, and they've hung in there, and they're only, I think, 4 points behind the Bruins. So, you know, Florida looks like a team that's going to hang in there for the rest of the year. I would mention the Devils. You know, we remember last year that the Devils had that run early in the season. And, you know, we're 15 points ahead of everybody. We're ahead of the Rangers, at least, before we knew it. That's a team that's having goaltending problems. They've given up 70 goals in 19 games. That's over 3.5 goals a game. You know, I know they were missing Jack Hughes for a while, but I don't think, you know, that has anything to do with the goaltending they're getting. So, you know, you look at that team, and they've taken quite a step back, and we'll see if they can pull it back together too. But, you know, I think that you know, just to kind of stay in the East, I think the Rangers now have, you know, given themselves enough of a pad where, you know, if they, I mean, what's the worst we can expect? And, you know, it'll probably come, lose 3 out of 5 or something like that. But I don't think this team is going to go on any kind of extended losing streak. So I think the fact that they have, you know, given themselves a nice pad between themselves and, you know, the other teams that are going to be fighting on the bubble just to get into the playoffs, I think it is a very good sign for this team. And, you know, I'll just end, one of my friends said to me, boy, I can't believe how they're, you know, how they're doing. Do you think that, you know, this can continue? And, you know, I thought about it and I said, I don't see why it can't. I don't see any reason why, you know, I would be full of gloom and doom and kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. So as far as our guys, I think we're in really good shape and, you know, looking forward to the next week.
All right, cool, man. Thank you very much. Let's go to Scott, your final thoughts. Give us a quick minute and then RP and close
I think our division is slowly but surely going to start to take shape the way we thought it was going to be. I think Philly and Washington were playing way above their pay grades earlier, and they're starting to come back down to earth. Carolina's starting to take their rightful spot in the top three. The Devils are a big enigma. Like, you know, they lost some games with Heischer and Hughes, who they finally got back. But, yeah, their goaltending, you know, Vanacek was definitely, yeah, not to use the same term twice in one sentence, but Vanacek was definitely playing above his pay grade last year. You know, and the defense, and I was talking to some Devil fans about this, and they're not happy about losing Severson and Graves. He said that seriously, you know, set not only the goaltending, but their defense back. You know, they've got a slightly above average at best goalie, and he's facing a hell of a lot more shots than he was. All of that from the blue line back is a serious problem for them. I mean, it's glorious, but it's a serious problem for them. I think overall, I think from the blue line up, I think they got better, you know, with the addition of Toffoli and, you know, signing Timo Meier long term. I think they got better, but you know, defense and goaltending, that's the name of the game in you know, in the playoffs, and I think they got a serious problem back there. Nobody on this call has addressed the Corey Perry and rumored to be Connor Bedard's mom story.
It's all yours.
I wanted to touch on that on purpose. We didn't mention it.
Oh, well, you know me. I got to jump on that. And real quick, yeah. I don't know if I have enough time. Steve cut me off. But that, you guys remember? What that reminds me of? You guys remember the Cal Ripken incident from 1997? With Kevin Costner to keep his streak intact. I don't know if you guys remember this story, but so Cal Ripken was having problems with his wife. Apparently his wife was having an affair with Kevin Costner, and he walked in, like literally just walked in the house one day to see it happening. Now, again, these are all, you know, somewhat rumors and whatnot, but in any case, and his streak was going on. His consecutive, it was 1997, his consecutive game streak was going on. He walked in the house, saw it, apparently got in a fist fight with Kevin Costner. The wife called the cops. The cops take him. He's got a game to play with that streak at Camden Yards. The cops take him. They don't know what to do with him because they got Cal Ripken in the back seat of their car, and apparently they faked a power outage at Camden Yards to give them time to, I don't know if they processed him or they just drove him around. Or you can look this up. You can look all this up. Again, it's all, you know, somewhat conspiracy and rumors as to the what actually happened. But there definitely was a power outage at Camden Yards that night, about a delay, an hour or so delay, giving them time for the police to drop Cal Ripken off at the game and keep that keep that intact. So that, you know, this whole, you know, we don't know if this thing actually happened with Bedard and Corey Perry, but obviously Corey Perry is going to get the boot if the face of the team and the face of the league, is upset with the mom and whatnot. We don't need to get graphic on that, but obviously he's getting the boot. So we got a potential veteran right winger out there for us. Maybe we could talk about next week. Are we picking up Corey Perry?
All right, cool, man.
Steve,
thank you, Scott.
Scott brought it up. This actually reminded me of, there were rumors back in the day that Lindros was sleeping with Rod Brindamore's wife when they were both with the Flyers.
Yeah,
and that's
that was the other one. Yep.
The Flyers, and that's when the Flyers decided they had to move him and moved him to the Rangers. So I don't know if that was ever true or not, but that's the first thing I thought of when I heard about the Corey Perry thing.
Oh, my.
Cool, guys. Thanks, man. RP, close this out, man. We're out of time, but close
this out. It's going to be really quick. Ranger Power, Facebook, Twitter, Empire Sports Media, Inside the Rink. And here's a quick one. Last night, the Tkachuk brothers played against each other. Ottawa, Florida, 167 penalty minutes, 106 penalty minutes in one fight. And it was the best one the referee had. The best quote, really quick, guys. Referee calls a double minor on Ottawa. He calls a minor on Florida. And then he goes, and everybody on the ice, 10-minute misconduct, and he skated away. It was viral all over the internet. He didn't list numbers or nothing. He gave all 10 guys a 10-minute misconduct, didn't list their numbers, and skated away. It was the best. If you would have seen the way he did it, it was hysterical. So you guys have a good night. We'll talk next week. Get some more rumors on Corey Perry and some moms. This should be a good episode next week.
Wow. We've got a post game. We've got the Senators. Post game next week versus the Senators, man. Let's talk about it, man. Sounds good. Glenn, Scott, RP, myself, Steve, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, the Blue Shirts, and around the NHL. Evaluation through November. What a great month for the Blue Shirts, man. Statistically, all improve across the board, man. Time for Ariel Souza, ladies and gentlemen. Bleed blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue.